Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another week of Relationships Matter. I am your host, Taiwan, and with me, as always, is Lady Di.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
So, the first thing that I want to do this week is I've gotten a couple people that have sent me messages on Facebook asking me about the actual intro song that's playing. And the intro song is actually off of my CD that's currently out right now, but I don't even want to get into that. So the reason why I chose that particular intro is because this is the same day that Empire comes on. And for me, the show Empire is so blasphemous. Like, I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail about it, but man, I see so many things on there that kind of makes me look at it a different way. Like, I normally turn it on and watch it because I like Jamal on there. I love hearing his music, and especially when he does stuff, you know, with the other kid, his brother. I like that stuff. However, everything else, like the message and all that other stuff that they do on there, I'm kind of like, oh, man. So if you listen to the words of the intro, it basically says, you know, I don't need an empire, you know, to turn me into something. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically, you can be your own person. You can do your own thing or whatever. You don't necessarily have to follow in the footsteps of what you see on TV and you know, all of that. So, yeah. So, that's my explanation of that. So, Lady Di, how's your week been?
My week has been very blissful. Very blissful. I can't complain. I might change my mind in about 2 hours. But so far, everything has been very blissful. How are you?
My week has been very, very slow, but at the same time,
slow?
It's been, you know, yeah, it's been slow, man. It's kind of, I mean,
what do you mean slow? What do you mean slow?
Well, okay. From wow. Wednesday to this Wednesday, you know, it's kind of gotten off a little bit slow. But, I mean,
okay.
It's progressing. I mean, we have, you know, it's Wednesday again, and it's time for our show, and I'm excited about that.
Yes.
I'm excited about the guest that we have today. And
yes.
As a matter of fact, let's just go right into it. So this week on the show, I have no idea why somebody would call me while I am.
They are
and
so
the
fired.
Funny part is, my,
so
yeah,
fired.
The funny part is my phone is broken.
so
anyway, I apologize for that.
So, yeah,
but
that.
Check it.
Sorry.
So, without further ado, we have the founder of the Charlotte Black Film Festival. He's actually the founder and the president. And he has so many different titles. He owns Tommy Films. Without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Tommy Nichols II.
Hey.
How you doing? I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. And actually, I'm the first. The second doesn't represent senior, junior, but it represents that's my second page. I blew out the first page at 5,000.
Okay.
So that's my second Facebook page.
Ooh.
I got that one wrong, didn't I?
Good, good, yeah. Mm, that's fine. That's fine. You didn't know. You didn't know. You didn't know.
I didn't know. See? See? I didn't know. So anyway.
Work on that. Work on that. Work on that next time. Sorry, Tom.
All right. So, man. The first question that I have for you, Tommy, is tell everybody who you are. Explain to them exactly who you are.
You know, I it's funny. I am a laid-down lover of Christ, a servant lover of all.
Wow.
That's who I am. Now, what I do is different. So which one do you want me to say?
What you do. Let's talk about what you do.
Okay.
Yeah. Who are you, Tommy?
Well, like I say, servant and lover of Christ. You know what I mean? That's the number one. But disciple of Jesus, number one. But number two, when I produced the Charlotte Black Film Festival. We'll be doing our seventh year next year. Also, Tommy Filmworks is my production company, which I do film commercial work, writing two scripts as we speak. Also do a company called Glorified Media, which is the media arm. I do several media, I call them media assets, like some web-based products that we have online. ShareMyWeddingDay.com is something we're going to be launching soon. Some other blogs. I do a lot of youth-based training in terms of media and technology under Glorified Media. So Glorified Media is kind of a marketing media asset arm of what I do. Tommy Filmworks is the production and of course, the Charlotte Black Film Festival is a festival. We also have the South Carolina Cultural Film Festival that happens in North Charleston, and we're getting ready to do the Faith and Freedom Film Festival in Charleston, South Carolina as well.
Wow. That's awesome. Absolutely. Diana, I know
yeah.
you have some questions for Tommy, so go ahead.
Yes. How difficult is it to run a media studio?
Media company, it's interesting because it's not, media is such a wide area. I mean, there's so many parts of the whole media game, because I do a lot of training. I teach podcasts, produce podcasts, you know, with young people, film production, broadcast, media production. And so in the production part, you know, it's really I'm a long-term technology guy that transitioned into media in 2000, and I say that because that's so important. I think when you talk about having a studio or entering into the media game, technology is everything, technology and creativity. So if you have those two elements, which I've been trained as a technology professional, but I found that I had a God-given gift in 2000 as a creative, so I just added those together and decided to use the media aspect as a way to exercise my creativity. So for me, it's a lot easier than others because of my technology background.
Wonderful, wonderful. What inspired you to become the founder of the Charlotte Black Film Festival?
It's interesting. I've been in Charlotte now for 6.5 years, and I did not come to Charlotte to do a film festival. I came to Charlotte to do film, and it was going to be Atlanta or Charlotte. You know, prayed about it. I said, God, which one, Atlanta or Charlotte? Where am I going to go? And this was the question. This was the question that was posed back to me from the Holy Spirit. He said, you can go to Atlanta and be a small fry in a big pan, or you can go to Charlotte and be a big fry, a big fish, right, in a smaller pan. And so strategically, which one would yield the greater results? And after that longer conversation, determined that Charlotte would yield a greater result, you know. And plus, I had history. My parents were from North Carolina, have uncles and aunts from North Carolina. But that was the reason why I came. So I got here 30 days, and I had my first video gig was shooting the director of regional economic development for the region, but housed here in Charlotte. And he was giving a presentation on the top 5 economic indicators in the Charlotte region. Film happened to be number 3. Now I'm here 30 days, right? And I see this presentation that film is number 3 in terms of had a potential to be greater than the NASCAR, the Bobcats at the time, the Panthers, and the baseball team put together. So film revenue, economic development had the potential to be greater in all of those aspects. This is what I'm seeing here 30 days. So I get back home, and I'm saying, wow, that tells me that this economic train is coming through Charlotte. So let me find out what the brothers and sisters in Charlotte are doing that we might take advantage this train that I can connect to. So when I went online, I checked around to find out, you know, who was in the space, who was doing what, and I didn't see anything. And when I looked at that time, there was a gentleman that was doing some screening events over the last few years to wait. Now, the day I looked had passed away 2 weeks prior to my research. Passed away.
Wow.
And then, so it's interesting to me. And so this is what came to my mind, you know, and for me, you know, being an older gentleman, I've been around economic development forever. I've been involved with many economic development groups, you know, in terms of, you know, and so I've seen economic trains come through a city, right, just for us not to have the know-how, the exposure, or the knowledge to only catch the train at the caboose side. So that means the only thing that we were fighting over at this time were smokes and crumbs. Because we're on the end, we're on the caboose side of the economic train. And so I said to myself, you know what? I said, Lord, since I am now here, I'm now positioned here, I saw this presentation, which many didn't in that space, because I was working that job. I said, you know, I sense a level of obligation to do something. And so the Charlotte Black Film Festival came as a result of that. And my whole goal was that if this economic train was going to come through Charlotte region, that we would be in the engine or we'd be driving the train.
Wow.
We're in the engine side or we're driving the train. And that was the whole position. So I tell people all the time that the Charlotte Black Film Festival is really an economic development organization using film as its platform.
Nice.
Wonderful.
And that's how it came about.
Now, I noticed you have, like, other top film series. I'm sorry, Ty. Hold on for one more second. Okay. The Summer Soul film series. That sounds, like, amazing. Tell me something about that.
Yeah, you know, Glorified Media, once again, is a media asset creation, acquisition, and development company. So we create media-based assets, whether it's terms of events or other things. And so, you know, and I'm a creative. I sit around for fun and just think of stuff, right? I just, for fun. You know, million-dollar ideas for fun, whether it's for me or somebody else. And so the Summer Soul film series was something I came up with that during the summertime that we produced these particular screenings centered around an art form. And so we did film and art. And so we had, during the networking session, we had artists that brought their art there, that folks, and was discussing their art, and people could actually acquire their art at that particular time. And so that happened through the network block, and then we would go and watch the screening tailored around, you know, art. Then I did music and film, and I did poetry and film. So we did that each month of the summertime of the summer last year, just to kind of tie in some of the branding that we was doing, and also promote film in the region and tie it into an art form. And so that's what kind of what that was about.
Oh, I like that. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Ty, you can step in now. Thank you so much, Tommy.
No problem.
All right. So, now, Tommy, we've discussed a bit about you and your profession and what you do. And the basis of our show is about relationships. So we're going to do it this time is we're going to get into relationships. And I want you to talk about relationship from a Christian standpoint and a relationship from a non-Christian standpoint.
Okay. Are you going to ask a question or you me?
All right. So
he wants a Christian standpoint and a non-Christian standpoint. Like, we're talking about relationships.
Sure. So, well, you know, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, I was...
Okay,
I was,
well, it's interesting when you think about that. And because, you know, we live in a culture today that's driven by, you know, not really a foundation of Christianity in terms of relationship, in terms of dating, in terms of our interaction with one another. So I believe that we're so far away from probably the foundation of how this should work that right now we're just kind of throwing marbles up in the air to find out wherever it lands, that's how we go. But let's deal with from a worldly standpoint, first of all. And so we talk about from a worldly standpoint, I mean, that's what it means, is whoever, whatever, however it goes. And right now, in terms of look at the world situation, in terms of relationship and dating, there's no longer a standard. And so they're not, no one's being held accountable to anything but to kind of how can I enjoy the right now experience. And what does that mean? You know, how can I enjoy this particular moment, right? And then I move on to the next moment, which also includes maybe the next person. And so you really don't find a standard that's been established when we talk about in the world in terms of relationship and dating. There's not a standard. And because of, you know, when we look at when we look at men and women, you know, there's so many more women than there are men. This could be one of the reasons in the world why many women are opting out of male-female relationships, or they're going to women-to-women relationships in the world, right? Because they look at those dynamics, and also they look at the abuse that they have experienced in their own life, dealing in that worldly
wow.
system again, throwing the marble up in the air, wherever it may find, that's where we're going, right? And so it's almost like the blind is leading the blind. And then we have men, I believe, because of social media, you know, and I just had a conversation with this, because of social media, because of reality TV, you have these images that flood men's minds and their spirits of this artificially designed perfect woman.
Oh.
Are you listening to me?
Wow.
Are you listening
to
me?
Absolutely.
Artificially designed perfect woman that men now are flooded with these images, right, on social media. They're flooded with even the Christians on social media. A woman that plays a powerful man, it'd be a scripture, but yet she got a glamour shot with a tight dress on next to the scripture. I'm not getting the scripture because my flesh now has been attached to your image. So I'm looking
absolutely.
At you and not
that
bearing witness
so
to the scripture or what you said. So really you're not exalting the spirit of God, you're exalting your flesh.
Hmm.
But justifying it by having the scripture on your page or on your post. So now you have men who are single yet, and those who are single in the world, all they're doing is going from bay to bay, right, still trying to reach that place of this artificial woman that's being designed by pop culture, by the reality TV, and by the Internet. You know what I'm saying? Because you can get a butt, boobs, and a smile all for $10,000. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So they're doing it. And so now this selfish generation where it's a selfie, it's a I, it's my brand, right?
Right.
And so all of that is about me getting self-satisfaction. and that's – so in the world, that's what's happening. And so no one's getting married in the world. It ain't about getting married in the world, right? It's about self-satisfaction and satisfying me for the moment. And that moment changes from day to day, right? That's the world. So let's go to the kingdom. Let's talk about the kingdom. And unfortunately, the kingdom has also adopted many of those same behaviors. Because no one in the kingdom, no one on the pulpit, no one's really teaching the foundation. No one has laid out a path of how it should work. What should this thing look like? Because everybody, be honest with you, everybody's talking about single people, what we should do. They marry. So they lay in next to hip thighs and chicken legs every night. So it's very difficult for them to explain to me what process I should go through to find a mate. Because you already got yours. And you didn't get yours the way you're telling me how to get it. It was through trial and error during a different time period. But if I believe that if, and I only use the Bible as a description of how this thing should happen. And so I looked at several single women who are in the Bible, and there were two we can talk about. One is Ruth. The other one is Rebecca. And let's deal with Rebecca. Because so here's come the servant of Abraham. So and we can say this servant, we can paraphrase him as the Holy Spirit as well. Because here he was coming because Abraham had prayed, right, to go find a wife for his son Isaac. So let's say that here's his father praying for his son, right? Go find a wife for my son Isaac. He said, but whatever you do, do not go into the land here. He's talking about where not to go, meaning do not go into the world to find her, number one. But number two, he says, find her among my family. So number one, we know automatically, he says, to find her in the family of God. Find him in the family of God. We know that's number one. So that's where we find them. And so when he gets there, even the Holy Spirit, who makes sure that it was lined up with God, he said, okay, let her come, whoever serves me, number one. Whoever comes and feeds me water, and then also suggests to also serve my camels water. And it's interesting, the parallel between Rebecca and Ruth, that when they was found, they were both serving. They were both working when they were found. They were both serving when they were found. And so here we come to this point where you find the servant that approaches her, and when he gets this confirmation and sees her, you know, this is the thing. Because Rebecca could have been down at the well with all the women because they were all almost pulling water at the well, right? So the servant shared with her why he came. Now, you got to understand something. This is Abraham's COO, right? He was over everything that Abraham owned. So he did not come up into the village on no broke-down camel. Hello, somebody. the garment that was laid over his camel wasn't made from everyday kind of material, right?
Right.
So he came in because he was bearing gold. He was bearing the rings. He was bearing the stuff to give to this woman. So you know he came right because he was serving Abraham, but yet he needed to present himself to this woman for Abraham's son Isaac. So he was right. And so when he goes to Rebecca, this is the message I always want to share with ladies, single women all over the place, what Rebecca did. When he came with all of this talk, and sisters, I know brothers come to you all kind of ways with all this talk, what he's doing, especially on social media, because on social media you can be anybody you want to be when you want to be it.
No, absolutely.
Right? And so here this guy coming. He coming to the scene, and Rebecca, here's what he said. And not knowing how to discern this thing right, what Rebecca did is what I'm encouraging every woman, single woman, to do. Rebecca went and she got her brother. And what I mean by this is, sisters, you must have a brother in your life. Because men know men and women know women, and you need a brother who can discern anything or anyone that's coming at you, that's speaking at you, right, who is bringing things into your life to engage you into anything. You need a brother to discern that. That means you must be accountable to another man who's not your father. It might not be your natural brother. So we talk about a spiritual brother. that you have to be accountable to.
Don't put in my thighs.
Repeat that again. I didn't hear it.
Keep going. Now,
okay.
I tell them put in my thighs. I'm feeling. I'm in the spirit right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. So you must have that because the accountability is there. He's going to be a part of this situation, and we know we must have accountability in the kingdom. If we don't, I don't care who you are, TV Jakes, Creflo Dollar, if they were single without accountability, they will fall. Tommy Nichols, anybody else, without accountability, you're going to fall. Ain't nobody, Juanita Bynum, you're not strong enough. So we need to be sandwiched in between accountability, meaning there's someone we're accountable to, and watch this, there's someone who's accountable to us. So now we're sandwiched in accountability because everything we're getting for ourselves, we should be sharing with somebody else. And that is that level of accountability I'm talking about. So the brother came, and the brother had to come to this guy himself. He heard the story. He bear witness. So sisters, don't let the brother come to your church thinking it's going to make it right. Don't about them to the father's house until you've been checked out by the brother. So the brother came to Rebecca, came to the servant, bear witness to what this guy was saying. And when he felt it was well, it wasn't the sister who invited him to the father's house. It was the brother. Now the brother's accountable for many of the actions that this guy is going to come. Only because you did the right thing in searching out your brother to bear witness on who this guy was. So just to make that story, just to show you some of those nuggets, but there must be a way in the kingdom that we get out of this courtship thing, we get out of this friendship thing that leads to all of these interactions with someone with no intention. And so I think the only way that can happen, it must be guided through accountability, because when you've been single and you've been a Christian and you've been waiting and you've been hoping, right, it's so easy for your emotions to run rampant. It's so easy for your emotions to connect with somebody. Even on social media, we might have never seen you in person, but there's an emotion that's connecting with someone. And if there's nothing under accountability to help guide us and help to kind of direct what is happening, guess what? We will fall. Our aligned emotions will run the relationship.
Wow.
So it's very important, once again, accountability, find a brother, you know, for women. And brothers need to find a sister as well. Because, you know, like I said before, everything popping up, men are very simple. And so we see you and we tell our boys, yeah, man, she got long hair, she got pretty eyes, all that fake, and we don't even know it. So we need a sister.
Really? Really? You don't even know me. You talking about me. You got me all. Okay.
Well, the point is, so we got this sister. That's not the real deal. That's not what you mean. And so we need the sisters. Women know women. Men know women. And we need sisters in our life as well to bear witness for other women and that hold us accountable on how we even treat women. You see how that works? When we have sisters with us that hold us accountable, and sisters have brothers to hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. Wow. Don't we see this wide road get a little narrow?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We see this narrow road that we should be on, that God is calling us to, but we ain't going to get there willfully because the flesh don't desire to be on that road. So it takes accountability, I think, really, to be on. The church is not teaching us. Facebook surely is not going to teach us. So where we decide to, through accountability, hey, I'm submitting to your wisdom. I'm submitting to your experience, to this other person, whether it's male or female, and this is how we're going to do this thing.
Wow. Absolutely.
Wow.
Now, Tommy, what I want to do really quick is take a moment for a PSA announcement, and then we'll get right back into our discussion, okay? Just want to make sure everybody is cool. All right. So the number of prostate cancer deaths was 20.7 per 100,000 men per year. These rates are age adjusted and based on 2009 through 2013 cases and deaths. lifetime risk of developing cancer is approximately 14% of men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer at some point during their lifetime. Now, for more information on the National Prostate Cancer Awareness Association, log on to natlmpca.org or call 866-533-0593. And that is PSA. It is sponsored by Sisters in Motion, Inc. and Rider Music Entertainment. And we're right back into the show. And we are discussing relationships with Mr. Tommy Nichols. And now, Tommy, we were talking about thank you for that, Diana.
It was a slight delay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So Tommy, we were talking about relationships and the importance and the roles that brothers and sisters in our lives, being it related to us or not, play a key role in the courtship process. And now I wanted to ask, now are you currently single or are you dating right now?
Yes, I am. I just made, and I really want to talk about it too. I made a decision to see someone that I've known for a few years. So yes, we are.
Okay. So my question about that is, what made you make that decision, and what steps did you take to get to the point where you decided, you know what, it's time for me to take that leap again and put myself back out there?
And that's a great question, because, you know, I shared you guys the scenario earlier about the images. You know, men see all these images, and what happens is, for most men, we're in waiting for the next. And so we're looking, these images that are floating our mind, because it doesn't make any sense for a saved Christian man to be single unless you got some real issues. I'm serious.
Wow.
There's women out here. So what are we waiting for? What is the real issue? We're waiting for the next.
I believe they're waiting for perfection.
And let me talk about the next.
No. We're not waiting for perfection. We're waiting for the type of guy that we can equally yoke.
Not women. I'm not talking about women.
Exactly. We're talking about men, and that's what I was saying. Men are looking for perfection. They're looking for women who are not.
But there's no.
But I say it like this: God made women a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and He made them that way for a reason. But I think that you have so many other things that play a key role in, and you know what? I'll just throw it back over to Tommy and let him continue, because I could really, really go off on a tangent right now, and we only had 30 minutes left. So go ahead, Tommy. It's all on you, brother.
And like she said about the women, but the woman's not asking the men. The men's supposed to ask the women. So it's on the men to make this thing happen, whether it's a marriage relationship, a courtship, or to make that move. Y'all waiting on the men. And so the question is, what are the men waiting on? And I'm saying they're waiting on the next. And the next is, how close can we get to that reality star? How close can we get to the images which are flooding our minds and our hearts? And I'm saying that because I found out I was in that number.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting on the next. Right? And so here I had this sister in my life, you know, been knowing her for some time, but yet would not commit to her, would not. It happened. I mean, she was, and she had went through a change where God had really did some things in her life, which is an awesome testimony. But I didn't want to see the change. I wanted to continue to see how she was, that prevented me from really wanting to connect with her. And then I saw the change, and the change was confirmed over and over again. Let me tell you what had to happen for me. You know, I had to pray. And when I prayed, I said, look, I said, this is a, she's an awesome woman. Do I not want to connect with her? And so I said to God, I prayed to God, I said, God, if this woman is who she says she is now, and this is truly what I see, give her my heart. 48 hours later, 48 hours later, my whole look about who she was changed. Completely changed.
Okay.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? So, I hear some background. So once you started praying, you saw a different woman, the same woman, but she was different in your eyes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I think she was the woman that she got to change her to be. I refused to see that. Right. And so instead of being singular focus, you know, we're focused on this whole world out here for the next.
Okay.
Because there are
a lot of educated sisters that are single, that are very educated, family oriented. Why are they single? You know, it's like, there are women that are loyal and they just want someone that could be their best friend. And it just seems like today it seems so hard to find that man. It seems like all the women that get a man are, I don't want to sound judgmental or anything like that, but they're just, you know, it questions like, what are men really thinking? What do men really want? You know, because it's like none of these men are reflections of their mothers, their aunts, their grandmothers. I mean, they're desiring women that have nothing to do with their upbringing. They're overlooking the good women. Let me put it that way, the good women. So, and there's so many sisters, so many that are more single than women who are not African American. I mean, I hear men talk about this. I may go a little off the tangent, but there's so many brothers that say I prefer to be with a woman outside of my race because it's easier. Easier. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that word, that term easier means.
Right.
Like,
well,
you know, so it's,
yeah.
There's
a couple of things there. Number one, let me say this to every woman that's on this line. If you're a Christian woman, and I want you to dismiss the myth of what the world says, because the world would tell you there's not enough men for women, right? We always hear that. But this is what God told me one day. There are enough men for every Christian woman.
Amen.
There are enough men for every Christian woman.
Absolutely.
So here's the key there. So what is the issue here? You said many important things. You said these are educated women. These are, you know, they could be
church-fearing
women.
Right.
Now, this is my question becomes, but have you made yourself, and this is key, and I'm lining up with the word, have you made yourself suitable and adaptable to him?
Wow.
That's the key. Have you made yourself suitable and adaptable? Because that's what God says. Adam, he said, I will make her suitable and adaptable to be this helper for this man. And so many times, going to church don't make you suitable and adaptable. It is a choice that you have to make as a woman. Instead of waiting on God for your husband, you're preparing for him.
Absolutely.
You're preparing for him. And so there becomes the access that he would have that is uniquely designed for him and for you to connect with one another. And that's going to come by him, you know, preparing himself and praying and seeking God about who he is, but finding a woman who's been suitable and adaptable that he see that, and this is the key, that he can win with. Many times we don't see that. We see her and all of her glory and what she's doing and all this great thing she's happening. But we see, how do we fit and still yet being a man, being the male, being the head in all her glory, all her education, all of her success. She's everything, got the house, And don't, and I'm not saying that's wrong, because you guys had to do it. You had to survive. You had to go forward in your life. But he's asking the question, how do I, where do I fit in that? Or better yet, the bigger question is, how does she with all her glory fit with me? And sometimes we come up blank.
Wow.
Now, do you think that it's easier? Yeah. Do you think it's easier to date in 2016 as opposed to maybe 2010?
To date, yeah. You can date easy. It's easy to date.
What about what about finding and well, there's a definite difference between dating and finding a mate. So
when I
say dating, I mean actually finding a mate in 2016.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of women that, you know, they post photos of them cooking and, you know, different stuff like that. Because of course every man wants a woman who can,
cook
and you know, these are things that our mothers did. These are things that our grandmothers did. You know what I mean? So when it comes down to it, and you look at these photos now, and these are the artificial women that we're talking about now. They're saying we can look this good and we still cook, and then when you zoom in on that photo, they got, you know, there's Skittles in the pot.
I'm done. You said Skittles. Okay.
Hey, I've seen Skittles in the pot. I've seen
who was this?
Biscuit batter. I've seen different things on social media, and I'm serious.
Are you and serious? You've seen biscuits?
Okay. Biscuit batter.
Biscuit
I've seen
batter.
Biscuit batter.
Wow.
So, back to my question, Tom. Do you really believe that it's easier to find a mate in 2016? As a matter of fact, let me rephrase that question. Mm-hmm. What is the hardest part about finding a mate in 2016?
Yeah, I think let's go back to the first thing, because, you know, when those women who can't cook, you know, who, you know, do you blame them or do you blame their mothers?
Oh.
You know, because they should have
been question.
The older women should teach the younger women, you know, those things there. So, but yeah, it is really tough because people look at things differently. You know, there's friendship, there's dating, there's a courtship, there's, you know, of course, the engagement, then there's marriage. And so let me say this, every new generation produces a new level of acceptable sin. This is Tommy quoting, this is what I came up with. Every generation produces a new level of acceptable sin, and so therefore we now live in a culture that whereby this flesh rules. And when we talk about the seriousness of a relationship, you know, and walking this thing out for God, you know, we're talking about denying this flesh their rules, right, and allowing the spirit to be exalted to connect you with somebody and to build a home. You know, our community that is growing up in faith and power and love and all those kind of things. But every day we see all these things that are hitting us. And so it is much tougher today because of the culture and the environment. You know, we used to say, well, the little girls used to grow up, watch this and say, you know, one day, you know, I'm going to have a white picket fence. I'm going to have a husband. You know, you're going to be married. We used to say to the little young boys, well, you have to work. You have to get a good job. You have to take care of your wife and your family. Now we look at our world system, and now there's little girls who have been said, well, you're open to choose who you want to, whether it be a male or be a female. The boys, you're even picking that spirit upon them.
I'm sorry.
Look at that.
I'm so Tommy, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cut you off or anything like that. You did hit a few things. You definitely hit a few things that close to home. But I do want to mention that we, as black women, a lot of us are growing up without fathers, or at least they either died or they left out of our lives. So we have single mothers who raise their children. They work odd jobs, and they might not have a lot of time to really cook and clean and do a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of young sisters are growing up where they have to be the adult because the mother is out there hustling them. She's working. I mean, that doesn't make her less of a woman if she's not cooking and being traditional like, you know, 40 years ago. I mean, every decade is different. Every change is different. I mean,
it is.
Going back, it is, because it is hard. I mean, just because a woman didn't grow up with a father doesn't mean she's going to end up being a lesbian. Doesn't mean if it's a boy, he's not going to end up gay. I don't, that part I don't agree with.
Make this clear. I said those are the options that are before the kids today. The options. That's the options. Because before, he mentioned a day and time. I think he said 2010, correct? What's the difference?
Yeah.
I'm talking about 2010 and 2016. So we're talking about six years. That option wasn't available or talked about for them to adapt to that spirit in 2010.
Right.
It's here today. So I'm speaking from a culture movement whereby, you know, all of these spirits are out here now, and they're all out to disrupt the family unit. The goal is to take the man out as head, the woman out as who she is. So it's against the family as we know it. And so when you look at that, it is tougher today because it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And so you truly, and if this is a Christian show, you truly have to be in your word and renew your mind with the washing of the word daily so that you can dispute all of the things that could come into your spirit, into your environment that's coming at you, that's trying to infiltrate your spirit and your mind.
Right.
You got to do it through the washing of the word. And when you do that, then you'll be lined up, especially for men, be lined up to know, okay, here's another woman doing the same thing. Then you have a spiritual connection with that sister so you can move forward. But that's what it's going to take today.
Wow.
Is there a difference? I like that. Is there a difference between someone being a Christian versus being spiritual? Because I hear a lot of young people say, well, I'm spiritual, and, you know, I believe in God. You know, I believe the difference between right and wrong, but I'm no hypocrite. And then there are, you know, there's Christians. So is there a difference? Because it seems like a lot of people don't really know the difference.
Yeah, there's a main difference. Yeah, there's a big difference. Let me give you a good example. Jay-Z and Beyonce are spiritual. But Christianity, if you're a Christian, you're saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for my sins, and I accept him as Lord and Savior over my life, and there is no other God I will place before me but him. That's the life of a Christian. And he is soon to return king for me, right? So that's Jesus. that's the Christian. The spiritual person is into humanism, right, Buddhism, you know, everything else. And they will all talk about a God, but they won't talk about Jesus. So if they ain't talking about a Jesus, they might be spiritual, but they're not a Christian.
Nice, very nice. Thank you.
I think that a lot of people get it misconstrued sometimes, and in the lines between Christianity and religion get blurred because people think that you're not a Christian if you don't go to church, and you're not a Christian if, you know, you do certain things. Or like I'll give you a case in point. Like when I was growing up, my mother was Seventh-day Adventist, and so with her, everything was, I think we lost Tommy.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're still there. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I thought I lost you for a moment. All right, so no, what I was saying was when I was growing up, my mother was Seventh-day Adventist, and we went to church on Saturday. And we used to have people come to our house, and, you know, they would always question whether or not we were good Christians or not. And I remember a lady going through our trash and basically telling, you know, my mother, you know, Christians don't eat this and Christians don't do that. And it had gotten to a point where my mother became a vegetarian. And so all of us followed, you know, had to follow suit. We were small, you know, so if she wasn't eating meat anymore, we wasn't eating meat anymore. And it had got to the point where, and, you know, my mother and my father were divided on that. So my father was like, you know, I'm not giving up meat. I'm, you know, I'm country boy. You know, I'm from Sylvester, Georgia. You know, I'm going to eat my pork. So my mother let these people make her feel like she wasn't a good Christian because the laws of their religion said she wasn't supposed to use a certain kind of butter. She wasn't supposed to use Crisco oil. She wasn't supposed to use certain kinds of cake mix. And these were the things that, for them, made her a bad Christian.
Wow.
So I said that to say, you know, like I said, people get that whole thing misconstrued. And I often do a lot of things in terms of a lot of what I do is faith-based. So, you know, from my music to other things that I work on, and I have a lot of people who back away from it. And they say, I don't necessarily want to be involved with that because you know how church people can be. Then I'm like, well, how can church, you know, how can church people be? Like, what are you saying? And
right.
Their whole thing is they don't want to feel like they're being judged. And I think that's the key thing right there. And I think that just going back to the women in church, because when I was, you know, when I was going to the church that I was going to in Texas, I know the girls my age would come to church and, you know, hey, they wasn't dressed like church girls. You know what I mean? Like how you think they're supposed to be dressed at church. So, of course, we're all looking at them the whole time, you know, and don't even remember what the sermon was about. So I definitely get what you were saying about that. So,
Well, it's worse now. I mean, you're in church to these days. You see kids on tablets, you know, because the parents want them to stay still and not talk, but you're giving them a toy that's going to distract them from the word. You know, I'm
right.
Seeing that a lot lately in church. You know, I see a lot of talking. I see, you know, like chit chatting. No one's really like listening. It's like you walked in and then you walked out the same person. You didn't understand what the word was for today, how it could motivate you for the rest of the week. You know, you don't even remember what scripture that, you know, the pastor was talking about because you were too busy, you know, on Facebook while you're in church, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Everything is changing.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think, you know, when we talked about earlier about how your mother had to eat and what she would, you know, she went to vegetarian because of what she was saying. And probably what took place because she's part of a denomination. Is that correct? Was she
right.
part of a denomination? Okay. And
right.
So when you look at the word denomination, that means to dominate over you, to give you the laws of man. So the laws of man come through a denomination to dominate over you, that you now are following rules and laws that really, truly separate people from getting to know Jesus. And so Jesus was relational. And one of the things we don't see it are relational churches where people are truly, it's relational. And so it's interesting, as you were talking, I saw when I talked about earlier about how in the world we go from moment to moment, from experience to experience. We're not having a real connection. That is the same way in the church. We go from moment to moment, from experience to experience. Can we get a fulfillment that really fulfills many times our flesh in the church? Then we wait to the next week. Do we get that same little feeling if we can? And so, because nothing is relational. And so these girls that come into church looking that way, they haven't been taught. Their spirit has not been renewed. So what we expect? We can't expect anything else but for their spirit to be renewed. But think about if we were a relational church like they did back in the day. If we were relational, guess what? Someone would want to be in relationship with those young ladies or those young men that form this relationship where you allow me into your life, where I can show you this is a better way. You know, this is how, you know, and by me sharing love with you and showing you the way and you seeing the example of my life, guess what? You'll begin to pattern your life after me. And so the relationship element is missing in the body. So therefore, nobody's being edified for the most part. No one can be corrected. And when it comes to judging, we have to understand one thing, and people get this so mixed up in the body. You know, the world, God's given the world to be taken dominion by us, the believer. We're supposed to rule the earth. God's Son and daughter are supposed to rule the earth. Therefore, we must judge wickedness and unrighteousness in the earth until he comes. It's our responsibility to judge unrighteousness.
Absolutely.
I know Bob said we don't judge, but it's our responsibility because it's ours. It was given to us, then it might be given back to him, right? Perfect. Like, we're supposed to be perfect, without blemish. So when we look at that, just know that, you know, our churches and what you're seeing today, like I said, there are tablets that's pacifying them because the teaching is not going forward like it should, you know, because if my 5-year-old and my 7-year-old or 8-year-old, whatever you might have, if they can learn in a school system, right, these mathematical equations they have today, which are very hard, trust me, they will learn the message of the gospel if it's taught in the proper content. They can understand the gospel.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I, you know, once again, it must be relational. We must have this relationship with Christ versus the religion of man coming to a true relationship with God. And when we do that, our lives will be transformed.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Tommy, we have about 2 minutes left in the show, and let everybody know where they can find you if they want to reach out to you.
Sure. Of course, you go to my Facebook page, Tommy Nichols, Roman numeral 2. Also, you can email me at TommyFilmWorks@gmail.com. We also have the Charlotte Black Film Festival page. I have a meetup group too, Charlotte Black Filmmakers, Actors, and Writers meetup page as well. And so I wanted to say one quick thing. Let me get this out because I didn't get a chance to talk about the dangers of the friendships that we're going to have. Give me 30 seconds. That we must be mature when we create these friendships with male and female, because what happens is emotions might flare up in one of the other person, and then when the other person's not there, they abandon the friendship, leaving that person there with their emotions, versus talking through the emotions,
wow,
saying, this is why we're here. This is our goal, to edify one another in Christ. But I'm not going to abandon you because you feel this way. I'm going to stay with you because I have the love of God for you. So I just want to say that. Don't abandon the person because the emotions flow up. Talk through it and pursue friendship.
I like
Absolutely.
That. I like that. That's my own class. My own class.
Absolutely.
Like
all right.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Tommy, this has been a really, really enlightening.
Really.
And
I love
this. A really good episode. We really appreciate having you on the show.
I appreciate being here.
We definitely got a link up soon. And, we have about 10 seconds left.
Ten
in the
seconds.
Show. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Thank you, everyone.
We will see you guys next week. with R&B Platinum Artist Public Announcement, and we'll
yes.
talk to you then.
Yes,
hey,
God
take
bless.
Care out.
All right, we're out of here. We're off the air.
We're off? Oh, okay. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Good. Well, I'm still
wonderful.
Here, so good. Now, do you get a recording? Do you get a recording of this?
Yes.
Okay, you have it. Okay, good. I like this.
Yeah,
like
it's gonna go live as soon as it'll go live as soon as the we wrap up here. It'll
okay,
go
cool.
live.
Cool. Could be.
Donna Rince.
What up? What up? This is Emotion and Ethan. <Tommy Nixon.
laughs> Huh?
What up, man? You know you just got shot. Everywhere you go, people think you know me.
You said what up?
People think you know me. You know, I done just been hollering. Yeah, I said that boy is single, saved, and satisfied, but he off the market.
Yeah, yeah,
he got it
in the day.
No,
Yes. Excellent. I enjoyed this show. This show was really good. Tom, you know I love listening to you talk anyway. But
yeah, you can't help it. You can't help it when you ride me for 4 hours.
Tommy, you are a pleasure to. It's my first time getting to know you. You're a pleasure. I never felt so like wow. So it was really deep. So thank you. So I hope to see you soon one day.
Good, great. Well, hopefully you guys go.
He has that effect on you, Di. I tell you, he has that effect.
No, listen. Now I gotta get this. Listen. I need you guys to go to my Facebook page and share the comments.
He's the honey.
I added you already on Facebook, Tommy. So
okay,
I will not try to.
Don't listen, Donna. No, but leave some comments because that encourages people. You know what I'm saying? When you comments on your show, there's some good content that was shared. Hopefully, people were edified. With the message, you know, does it tell you how many people are on? So I don't know how many people are on. I don't know if you get that or not, but yeah.
Yeah, you get the demographics. He can give that to you. Normally, he would not give that to the guest, but
I don't need it.
I could tell you
once the show ends. Like right now, we're still, like, even though we're not live, like as far as like if you called in, you wouldn't be able to hear. But right now, if you're still on the website, you can still hear everything
right.
We're saying right now.
Still here. So, hello, listeners out there. They always get that last minute tidbit. They get that tidbit, that back end, the behind the scenes. They always get that.
Yes. Woo-hoo.
They get about real, 5 minutes real. After the show's over with. They hear everything we talk about.
You know what?
We can get straight.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna. I'm gonna send that to you, Tommy, as soon as the thing is over with. The
you
show actually
gonna,
automatically posts to Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, can you guys hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. We can hear you.
Okay.
I don't think Donna can hear us.
Donna,
no, I don't know.
Donna?
It might be me. Because the phone would just cut off. You can't hear the person.
Donna,
can you hear?
Okay,
I'm
texting you. Right. Did Donna pay her bill?
He probably can hear me.
I can hear.
Yeah, she just went out. She just went out.
See, I'm gonna give her
nah,
that.
Her,
okay.
Nah, check it. So, I am going
yeah, somebody
to.
Said, I can hear y'all.
I'm gonna send you the.
Okay, everybody that did hear, can you guys go to my page where you saw this? If you were part of my Facebook page, please leave comments on what you thought about what you heard, and any comment or questions, go to my Facebook page. Thank you.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. And then we still had somebody who stayed on the line to listen. So that's what's up. We have somebody, last four digits, 6911.
Yeah, that's me.
What's your name?
Yolanda.
Hi, Yolanda. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Yolanda. Hi.
It's your 5 seconds of fame, Yolanda.
Oh, it's my 5 seconds of fame. Funny man friend. That's what
that
I call
so
her.
That is so bad.
I call him
that
my funny
so
man
bad.
Friend. That's who he is to me. He's also my partner in business as well.
Oh, wow.
So, Yolanda, what did you think of the show today?
I thought that was very insightful. I do want to add that there are ladies who are waiting for nice men like Tommy, but some of them are too scared to approach us, and that is the thing. As women, we kind of make it known, okay, well, I like you, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm waving the fan as much as I can without throwing myself at you or being wrong about it, where you can, you're still being a lady about yourself. You know, that's what I'd like to add, you know, because
you know what, Yolanda?
About me that I do as a lady who's a Christian and a pastor.
Let her talk.
I ain't said nothing.
When I take pictures.
You're talking.
When I take pictures, you very seldom see me do a full body shot.
Thank you.
I mean, if you look at majority of my pictures, they're headshots. If you are really coming through my pictures, you're going to have to thumb. I got like 2,000-3,000 pictures. You're going to have to thumb to see any more than, you know, if I'm going to a waist or anything. You're going to have to thumb, and that's because somebody else didn't take that picture. But most of the time, I don't.
I say it like this.
One more thing. Men don't even know I'm single because I don't post them.
That's the thing. See, listen. Tommy touched on this during the show. He said, basically, that a lot of times women don't make themselves approachable. And see, sometimes you may not notice it yourself because you're just being you. But sometimes maybe your you might come off as something else to somebody else on the outside looking in.
But that's them. That has nothing to do with us. That's them.
I'm approachable.
Yeah.
Because most people can sit in and talk to me. I'm funny. I'm always giggling. And I'm approachable. People approach me. And I have men who approach me from I don't know where they come from, but they just come and jump on my page and be like, "Are you single?" But I'm just saying that, you know, I keep myself where God is the forefront of everything for me, when a man is gonna come correct to me. I do agree with what Tommy says. I do have another man who has been my best friend for like over 30 years. You know, so when I think that somebody is okay and really nice in my life, they gotta sit down and talk to my best friend because he's like my brother, and you know he's my buddy, and he's gonna tell me he ain't right for you. Or he's good for you, or you have my blessing on that person. Because he knows me inside and out. So.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because now you have what Tommy talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. You have that brother figure.
That's right.
And women need to, you know, y'all being nice don't mean that y'all want us. That doesn't give us no indication that you're available because you're nice. I expect you to be nice.
There you go.
I expect you because I'm nice to you. I expect that.
Okay.
See, because you're nice, that doesn't mean nothing.
Let me tell you something I seen just before the show. Hold on, Diana. Let me tell you something I seen just before we came on.
Okay.
I seen a young lady posted about how relationships weren't the same anymore, how men are not as they're not providers anymore. They're basically wanting the woman to do half and all the other stuff in there. And she was explaining, she was asking where is chivalry? And a gentleman posted a meme, and the meme said chivalry died the moment women mistook a compliment for thirst.
It what?
Chivalry died
the moment
women replaced the word compliment with thirst.
Mm.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense, but I think he was wrong.
Yeah.
Because chivalry is who I am. It don't come with how you respond to who I am. So I'm going to be me regardless.
Right.
And so I'm going to flow that way because that's who I am. That's how, you know. And so because this one think it's thirst, she don't respond right, that's fine. Okay, that's your problem. But they ain't going to stop me from being who I am in terms of when I open doors for women. If I give, you know, I remember it was this big old gigantic door. I was at the court trying to sue somebody. And they got these big gigantic doors. It's heavy. And when you open them up, it looks like a king's palace, right? And so I opened up the door. I grabbed the door to open it up, and this older white lady was coming through. And the timing was perfect, right? So I said, "For you, my queen," just like that, right? Because I'm always in movie mode in my head,
right?
Do you know this woman?
I'm done.
Watch this. She stopped. She said, "Sir, you don't know how much that means to me. I need it
now." Absolutely.
Because we don't hear that all the time. I think a lot of younger women, they're afraid of good men. Like, there's so many good guys out there. And I know quite a few. I practically remember when they were babies. And they grow up to be prestigious young college men, and these girls don't want them. They want the gangster. They want the bad guy. You know, it's they always place that good guy in the friend zone. Like, oh, we could be friends and hang out, and you know, that's what they see on TV. Like, I've seen guys open the door for women, and not one single woman said thank you. Not one. But they respond when you slam the door in their face. That's when they respond.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I always say thank you when somebody's opened the door.
You know, like, really, you say thank you, but they respond when you slam the door in their face.
I say thank you and chivalry ain't dead. That's what I say.
Right, exactly. I say
now,
thank you, my
you know
brother.
What? It's different.
I don't want the door slammed in my face.
It's different in young men and women. So when you get to men and women, I would say like 25 and younger, between that 18 to 25 range, it's very, very different for them. Like, just the whole dating part process is different. We're in a day and age of Netflix and chill now.
Oh,
so,
God.
So, you know, you got that. Now, Netflix and chill is considered
and a chill date. Ain't what we think chill is either. Still means come
right.
over and have
right.
sex with them.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Exactly.
They don't
want
to take you to dinner no more. They say, come over and chill. Like, what?
Well, oh, my God. Let's play video games. Let's stay indoors so nobody can see us out in public. Like, no. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Boo-boo.
Yeah. And I'm so different. You know why? Because guess what? Every time we go out to eat, we go out to the movies, whatever we do, I'm treating myself. I want to do it myself, and you just happen to be part of, you know, of my experience, because I'm going to have a good time regardless.
Right.
Now, you're part
right.
of my experience. And I like to go eat. I love movies. I love, you know, live music, jazz, all of that. So now you're part of my experience, which is going to be good whether you're with me or not.
Right.
So
I
don't want to come to my house. I'm at my house all the time. Let's go, you know, that might happen down the road, but, you know, let's just, yeah. for cool beans.
And see,
you're
cut from a different cloth. Now, I'm gonna tell you, people who end up, because what'll happen is there's gonna be a lot of people that they like to, after the show's already went on and all of that, they come on and they click the play button and they listen to the show over again. So they're gonna listen to, you know, 15 minutes extra, but no, just in this extra 15 minutes, we done dropped some gems.
That's true.
Yeah.
We've dropped some gems because these are things that people don't talk about. But you get a lot of females, like, you would be surprised. I'm so surprised that the females, like, I read a lot of stuff that go on social media. Like, I'm not really trolling or anything like that, but sometimes for me, I need material. So a lot of times I'll go through and I'll look, okay, this looks interesting, and I'll read it. And I read that so many, you know, women, and I won't even just say young women, because I see women that are over 30 still going through it and still having issues with, you know, men and infidelity and, you know,
and
just,
in their 40s,
you know,
too.
Women saying, yeah, and women saying, you know, I still can't find a good man.
Right.
And I think that in some instances,
and
maybe you might need to change your radar.
Exactly.
Does that make sense? You need to change your radar.
Sense. Change your radar.
And the things that you were looking for might not be the things that you need. They may not be the things that God has intended for you.
True. Yep, that's true. Because sometimes, people, as a person, you're going to attract who you are. So
if you change
who you are by keeping your eyes on Christ, you're going to
mm-hmm.
change your side out instead of the outside in.
Right.
And learn to love yourself. You know, like,
yeah,
do things with yourself. Go places by yourself. Experience life. Enjoy what you have, because if you can't be your own company, you don't love yourself by yourself, nobody's gonna want to be around you. So you have to
learn
to explore. There's so much out there.
Now, Tommy, let me ask you this: what do you think about aggressive women? Now, when I say aggressive, I mean women who, in this day and age, are asking men to marry them.
You see a couple of those like this. I say this is the thing. And when you said aggressive, I think in today's time, a woman needs to be a little aggressive. And like, here's a good example. Ruth was aggressive. You hear me? Ruth was aggressive. She went into Boaz's room. She laid at his feet. That was aggressive, especially back then. And so what I think is happening, because of all of the image we talked about, I think a woman needs to go as far as making it clear, if she meets somebody she's interested, I think, because we don't know. We are stupid. Men are stupid. You might throw it up. We don't know.
Glad you said that. I'm glad you said
stupid.
That. Thank
we're
you.
Stupid.
Thank
okay.
you.
You listen.
Okay.
Because if you're not interested, you're not interested.
Wow.
Heard that dog.
Wow.
Listen.
Wow.
Listen, you're not
interested. Well, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, if you're nice, you expect everybody to be that way. So your niceness will not get it. I said that earlier. You need to separate yourself from the herd. Everybody being nice, everybody picking carrots, right? But ain't nobody, you know, so you have to let this brother know. Hey, I'm just, what do you think? I mean, you have to ask him the question. Because I'm telling you. And so you have to, I believe you have to separate yourself from everybody else who's sitting by. They said they're waiting on God to send them a man. It ain't going to work. So you ain't gonna work. You waiting on God. He ain't coming out the sky. He ain't, you know, you gotta be active. You gotta get caught up into some things. Be social. Go to live music events. Get with your girlfriends. Get with some other guys, male friends. Hang out with a couple guys, two guys. Women get more attention when they with men than they do with women.
What? No, wait, no.
Yes.
Because that don't work for me.
Let me tell you this. All my friends, I said, listen to me. They said, well, Tommy, I'm single. Don't worry, just keep hanging with me. And guess what happened?
Yeah, like the
guess
minute I go to the bathroom, watch him,
they
watch him come up.
Do you hear me? He listening right now. He's checking her out because they with me. I'm telling you, a woman get more attention with two guys because now that makes the man think, well, she with him, or she just a friend.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna try that Friday. I'm gonna hang out with two guys.
I go out with two
brother,
guys.
and one is my friend, and I'm gonna have people be like, which guy is she? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And then what you do? This is how you do it. The test is this. So while you're there,
uh-huh.
make sure you get up. And you go somewhere around other men, whether it's going to the restroom, you're slow, if it's going to the bar, whatever you do, make sure you get around where they can say something to you.
Right, absolutely.
Or, you know, so then they'll say, hey, how you, whatever. You'll see that communication or that look, or they say, hey, shorty, or whatever they might say, I don't know. But you'll see that, and it's the result of you being with them. I'm telling you. They're just thinking the thing.
Really? I'm going to do that.
I'm
going to
I took this out to him.
Absolutely.
You're the man hanging with me. That's not what you're going to think about.
you heard that, Yolanda?
But I'm over here hanging around. I hang around. When my best friend comes from Colorado Springs, we go out. And this you're right, because people do come around us, because he be ordering up all this food. I get the biggest lobster I want. And we be holding up the legs and swinging it. You would think we kind of crazy when we go out. And and people would come over and be like, is that for real? And it's like, yeah, I can't eat it all, but it's for real.
And when you go out by yourself.
When
you go out by yourself. Yeah, do this. When you go out by yourself, it has to be purposeful.
Well, I got the 8-pound lobster. I didn't know it was that big. Until it came to the table. We had everything at our table. We had crocodile, lobster, frog legs. And we had shrimp cocktail with avocado.
Yolanda, you're making me hungry. You know what, this ain't the time. You're making me hungry.
Right.
Hey,
I'm getting
off here. Coming over to the table asking us questions and stuff, you know, about the food. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't really hang around anybody. And I kind of have my own, you know, I hang around my kids. I don't really hang around anybody. So I don't know. I don't really have any other guy friends I really hang around. So, you know, I just talk on the phone.
There you go. Bam. Bam.
Too much. Too much.
Okay. Okay. Yolanda, do you have to be on the webinar today at all?
Do I what?
Do you have to be on the webinar at all?
Am I going to be on there?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll hit you up offline.
Well, you
all
know,
right, guys, hey, appreciate
gotta,
you. And I'll wait for that. Make
tell
sure
me
you
my
link
time.
Me.
Yeah, I will definitely tag all you guys to it.
Okay.
As soon
cool.
as we hang
cool.
up, it's going to go live.
Okay. All right, y'all
cool.
take care.
Cool.
All right.
Bye.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure talking to you guys. We'll see you next time.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.